It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Three, two, one.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. 803-810-2230 for all your real estate needs, or hit up our website, thejoneszones.com. Man, we survived. Did you have any issues with the hurricane at all?
We lost power for a bit, a couple hours on Friday as soon as the storm basically started. Then it came back on and we lost it again on Saturday, but that was the worst of it.
Did it interrupt any football viewing for Scott?
It did.
He's like, come on!
He went next door to the neighbor somehow. They
had power?
No, they watched it on, I think on their cell phone or something.
Yeah, probably had like a tablet where he got like, you know, Wi-Fi or something.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it. Today I'm here with Jennifer Wolf. And Jennifer is was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer, in 2015. And she fought that and survived and won. And now she's the director of development at Susan G. Komen, where she does all sorts of interesting stuff. And I'll let her describe what she does. And they have the race coming up in Charlotte, of course, soon. So, Jennifer, welcome to the Jones Zone. Good to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, if you don't mind, just share a little bit of your personal story and then some of a little bit of your professional background and how you got started with Susan G. Komen and what all you do there.
Sure. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer in October of 2015. It was following the birth of my youngest child, Sydney. So I had a newborn, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old at the time. I actually felt a lump doing a self-exam in the shower. I was going for my yearly checkup with my doctor the next day. So that's why I was doing my self-exam, just to see if I had anything to bring to his attention. At the time, I was 32 years old, and breast cancer was pretty much not on my mind. But I was working at that time for Novant in marketing and sales for radiology. So I promoted mammograms and MRIs on a daily basis. So I knew there could be a chance that it could be cancer. So after I felt this lump, I moved up my appointment with my doctor. It was supposed to be at 4 p.m. I moved it up to 9 a.m. because I was panicked and wondering what this could be. The doctor went ahead and referred me to the breast specialist. He felt the lump, but again, I was breastfeeding. I just had a newborn. And figured it could be a clogged milk duct, but I went with my gut and went ahead and got it checked out. I did a mammogram, which followed immediately into a biopsy, and I was told by the radiologist that they were 98% sure that it was breast cancer. So my whole world kind of spun out of control at that point. And I have little family history. My grandmother had breast cancer in her 40s, but only 5 to 10% of breast cancer is due to the BRCA mutation.
Genetics, basically?
The gene mutation from the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, only 5 to 10% actually come from that, and mine was not from that. They tested me from 28 different genes, so mine was just a random breast cancer, like a lot of people get. So I went on from there. I did a year of chemotherapy. I did radiation, 33 treatments, a lumpectomy, and that all ended in October of 2016. So at that time, I knew I wanted to do more. I wanted to help others in a way that I was helped by so many throughout the whole journey. So I reached out to Komen to see if there was any job openings about a year ago today. So that would have been September of 2017. And they actually were hiring for the development director. So I interviewed and got on with Komen in January of this year. And I've been there since January. And my job is to bring in sponsorships, donor relations, building our donor network, and I work with our rallies and our foundations and basically fundraising and bringing in the money for the organization.
Okay. That's a mouthful. All right. So your personal journey, here you are. You just had a baby, who is baby number 3, by the way.
Yes.
And you've got this appointment coming up, and which prompts you to do a self-exam. And you find a lump, you know? I mean, that's like, I would probably move my appointment from 4 to like the moment you got out of the shower. So, now you mentioned the age. Like, what age do women typically need to be cognizant of that? Is that...
So, if you have family history of breast cancer, you can speak to your doctor, and usually they can get you in much earlier. Normally, it's 40 for a mammogram. Some insurances will cover a baseline at 35, but depending on family history and genetics, you could go even earlier. I was, 32, so they're really in little family history, so there really wasn't much of a reason for me to do a mammogram at that point. So thank goodness I was doing a clinical self-breast exam, which those can start as early as 20, and then your doctor does them every few years for you as well.
And then how huge is it that, you didn't dismiss that? Like you said, as a clogged, breast...
clogged milk duct, yeah.
Yeah, like...
You know, I
do you ever think, man, I'm so glad that I did that?
I actually have a strong faith in God, and I feel like I was in that situation for a reason, and there's a reason why I followed through with it. And maybe that's why I was working for Novant at that time, because I knew it wasn't just something to ignore. And several people had said, I'm sure it's nothing, because as women, we have lumps that come and go, and this one just felt different, and I went with my gut. And thank God I did, because I'm alive and here today because of that.
So walk us through a little bit of that little period. I mean, you don't have to share what you're not comfortable with, but that's pretty scary. I can imagine. I've never been through it, obviously, but when the doctor tells you, yeah, it's cancer. I mean, what was going through your mind, and what did you think that you were going to do?
It's extremely scary. I remember it's kind of like in the movies when they tell you that diagnosis, you no longer hear anything going on around you. It's like your whole world freezes. And I honestly don't even know what they were saying at that point. And I was all alone because my husband was working and my family was, everyone was at work and doing their thing. And I said, can I at least go call my husband and my mom and let them know what's going on? And I called them and they immediately came up to the breast center to be with me.
So this all happened the same day, that 9 a.m.?
I went the next day. So the radiologist, there was one particular radiologist that I wanted to see just from working with her. I really liked her. So she wasn't in until the next day. And normally you have to wait a couple weeks to get in for a scan. But being that I work there, they were able to work me into the schedule, which was another blessing for me. So I think that helped a lot because it helped me feel in control, knowing these people and knowing what was coming next. And I can only imagine someone who has no history, doesn't know what comes next and doesn't know the medical side, how they feel. Let's back up. So that happened this was a Tuesday. I went to the doctor. Wednesday, I went for the mammogram. They told me they think it was cancer, but the biopsy won't be back for a couple days. Friday, it was confirmed that it was cancer. But in that period, I went around to the oncologist, the surgeon. I knew who I wanted to see just from working from Novant. So I went immediately there, said, I'm pretty sure I have cancer. Can you get me on the schedule? So that helped me a lot to feel like I was in control and I knew my doctors and knew I can go to the next step. But don't get me wrong, it's extremely scary. You don't know anything. Breast cancer, there's so many different types. You can be HER2 positive, you can be estrogen positive or progesterone positive. You can be a mix of those or you can be triple negative. So there's a lot to learn. And I remember those first 2 weeks, my head just spinning and not knowing any of those answers was confusing and scary and everything in one.
Yeah, I guess I've never really given much thought to all the subtleties and nuances and varying degrees of cancer that you can have, I mean, geez, just what you said, I was just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, learning all that, and I mean, dude, you have the role of being mom, too, I mean, especially with a newborn. So, how did you even manage those emotions for...
It was very scary, and I think it was good that the kids were so young because they didn't understand. So they were 2, 4, and then the baby, newborn. And then I had the support system between my family, my friends, my husband, everybody to help out and be there for me. But those first 2 weeks, I just remember my head spinning because you're going for tons of scans, PET scans, nuclear med scans to see if the cancer had spread anywhere, to see if it's in the lymph nodes, to get your staging. So that is honestly, I thought, the scariest time was figuring
just the terminology, a nuclear med scan. That sounds like I'd be like, dude.
Yes. So it is all very scary, but I knew that I didn't want to scare my kids, so we made them a big part of it. We let them know that mommy has cancer and I'm going to be sick for the next couple weeks, but we kept it as positive as possible. We actually had them cut my hair off. So I was diagnosed in October of 2015, and I started chemo almost right away. Within 2 weeks, I had my port in, and then I started chemo in early November. And we had the kids set up a little mock salon, and they put little aprons on, and they packed their lunch, and they pretended they were hairstylists for the day. And my 2-year-old and my 4-year-old cut my hair off, and then I told them when it all fell out completely, they can go ahead and color with lipstick on my head. So we made we made it fun for them, and we kind of made it into a joke, like, hey, look, mommy has no hair. This silly medicine made that happen, and, you know, I think it gave them a positive outlook. And
were they able to maintain that throughout the whole time?
They, and I don't know if it's that they were so young, but it never seemed to bother them. I chose not to wear a wig. I had several wigs. I didn't wear them. I didn't wear scarves. I usually just wore, like, a paperboy hat or a ball cap or something like that.
Yeah, I remember
you
wearing baseball hats and stuff.
But I don't think the kids really noticed the difference, and it amazes me. And some of my friends' kids would come over and be like, why do you have no hair? But right. You just have to
just
realize,
little kid stuff.
Yeah, they're innocent, and, you know. So.
How did Scott respond, your husband, I guess, for people that don't know you guys as well as I do, but how did he manage through all this?
He was a trooper, and I know he had to take on a lot. It's kind of like when you're pregnant, when you go to bed really early. I was asleep by 8 o'clock every night. So I know he was handling tenfold what he normally does, and he already does a lot, but just between cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids, kind of picking up the slack. I was very fortunate to feel pretty good through chemo. I had my side effects, and I had certain things, but I never really had the nauseousness. So I tried my hardest to stay on par, I guess you can say. But Scott did have to pick up a lot of slack, and he was amazing. But I think it's important for all men who are the caregivers or the supporters of a woman going through this, or even if the roles are reversed, because some men can get breast cancer as well, and then the women are the caregivers. It's important for them to have a support group as well, which he didn't really have anybody to talk to that was going through the same thing. So I tried to get him introduced to a few people, but it's difficult for a husband who's going through that. So, but I think it's important because they're taking on a lot, and they're scared too, and they don't really have anyone to talk to sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. I mean, even if things look good, I mean, you're scared of losing your spouse, or
right.
You know, being, and now you got the 3 kids, and the whole thing is probably scary for everybody. So,
right.
It's amazing that it's weird what crisis and turmoil can do to a family, you know, strengthen them and bring them together and everything like that. So,
yeah,
good for you guys. How long did you said 30 something treatments? How many?
So I did chemo for a year. I had to do, I think it was 17 treatments every 3 weeks. What I call the hardcore chemo, was 6 treatments every 3 weeks. That's the one, it was 4 different drugs. That's the one that makes you lose your hair, causes all the random side effects like nosebleeds and stomach upset. After those 6 treatments were done, I was just on Herceptin, which is for her 2 new positive breast cancer. And I was on that every 3 weeks for the rest of the year. So that was 17 total treatments. But Herceptin, I didn't have any of the side effects I had with the other drugs. My hair came back and all of that. And then radiation was 33 treatments. So that was Monday through Friday, 33 times for radiation.
And what's your current status?
I'm doing great. I'm cancer free. Thank God. I recently had an MRI this summer and everything came back clear. So now I go every year just for mammograms. I just dropped, I was doing every 6 months, I would do a mammogram and then an MRI. And now I'm moved on to just mammograms. So
the plan for now is just yearly checkups and just
closely
kind of
monitoring diagnostic mammograms, which means you meet with the radiologist on the spot and they go through everything. It's a little bit longer of a mammogram than just a screening mammogram. And then I meet with my oncologist every 6 months for checkups.
Very nice. All right. So obviously, life-changing event, being diagnosed with breast cancer. But it also changed your life in terms of professionally. So this motivated you to join the Susan G. Komen team, and how did you go about that? I know you touched on it briefly, but what was the next step? Like when you said, all right, I think I'm ready to go back to work, because you were on maternity leave plus
cancer leave. Well,
right?
That was the high thing. I came back from maternity leave. When she was born, May, June, July. So I came back by August. And then I was diagnosed by October. So I just got back.
Oh, okay. So
I
didn't you were back at work. Okay.
I was back at work, but I didn't have any maternity leave, like, or FLMA leave left, I guess you can say. I used it all. But thank goodness I was very fortunate, and I took just a couple days off here and there when I was doing my chemo treatments, but I continued to work throughout. But I know for me, when I was diagnosed, there were so many questions, and I spent so much time on the internet researching and not knowing what was correct. And for me, I went on a bunch of retreats that helped me a lot, There was one that was a week-long beach trip for the whole family to get away through Little Pink Houses of Hope. There was a fly fishing Casting Carolinas retreat. And then Wind River Wellness. There were several different retreats that at first I had never thought I would get away from my kids. There was no way I was taking 3 days, let alone a week, to myself. And I realized how important that was. And you have to take care of yourself in order to take care of others. So things like this, these retreats, even First Ascents, they helped me get through that year. And I wanted to be able to share that with others. And it took me so much time and research to find out what's available and what funding's available and all these different things that I wanted to help others on a bigger level. So I created a spreadsheet for anyone who was newly diagnosed, and some of the nurse navigators would contact me to reach out to them. But I wanted to do that on a much bigger level. So that's why I decided to make the shift over to Komen. And then I started with them in January. And that's, as a development director, I'm bringing in money for the organization. And it's important to me because one of the retreats I went on through Little Pink Houses of Hope, there was 9 survivors and their families. And that was a year, not even a year and a half ago. And we have lost 3 of those survivors. Oh, no, geez. 4 now. We just lost another one. So 4 of those survivors out of the 9. Which is just so heartbreaking, and it tugs on me all the time, and I feel like I'm here for a reason, and I'm going to make a difference, and that's why I'm fortunate to be at Komen, because Komen's doing so much to help save the lives of others that we will one day find a cure. So that's what brought me over here.
So what all does I honestly, when I hear the name, I automatically think of the race that comes to town. And I'm sure they're in a million cities, but like, what all do they do? I mean,
yeah. Well, Komen National is out of Dallas. There's 68 affiliates here in Charlotte. 75% of all of the net funds raised stay locally in Charlotte in the 13 counties surrounding it, including York and Gastonia, and 25% goes national to research. So Komen is the largest funder of research next to the U.S. government, and they support with different things from lymphedema garments to education, outreach. We do something called Pink Sunday that involves almost 400 churches locally, that it's just a big education piece for African American and Latino churches. So on so many different fronts, Komen's helping, aside from research, to find a cure. The bold goal for Komen is to reduce the number of breast cancer deaths by 50% by the year 2026. And we'll do that by eliminating health disparities as well as finding breakthroughs in research.
What's health disparity mean?
So just, we found that African American and Latino women are diagnosed usually at later stages, and a lot of it's due to lack of education or awareness. So helping eliminate some of those disparities by getting the word out there. And you think everybody knows what breast cancer is, but we found that's not the case. And through some of our Pink Sunday trials, you know, these churches once a year talk all about Komen and all about breast cancer awareness. And we've had success stories of people saying, you know, one lady brushed up against her breast in her garden and felt a lump. And because of that Pink Sunday event, she knew to act on it. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer, where in the past she would have just ignored it. So things like that.
Yeah. Do women typically, are they usually dismissive at first? Not that they don't want to deal with it, but like, if they notice a lump, are they more inclined to not give it serious attention at first? Or how does that?
I think it depends on the person, but yes, definitely there is some research that shows a lot of them will ignore it. A lot of it is because they don't have the insurance or the ability to get to a doctor. They're scared, if it is breast cancer, what am I going to do? And how am I going to afford it? And that's where Komen can step in. We grant out money to several different organizations who help pay for mammograms, who help pay for different things that the woman might need, biopsies throughout their journey. And we make sure if we get them in touch with whatever resources they may need, and we work with other organizations. So if it's something we might not do, like if someone needs help paying for childcare or something, which now we could do at Komen, but if it's something we can't do, we can refer them to another organization, and we make sure they get all the help that they could possibly need.
And how long has Susan G. Komen been around?
So here in Charlotte since 1997, Penelope Wilson started the first Race for the Cure in honor of her loved one who passed away. And then Komen National has been around since 1982, I believe.
And then is the foundation named after Susan G? Like,
yes.
Forgive my ignorance,
yes,
but like,
no.
What's the story behind the actual foundation?
Nancy Brinker and Susan G. Komen are sisters. And when Susan G. Komen was passing away from breast cancer at 36, Nancy had said, "I will do everything in my power to find a cure and end breast cancer forever. So that's when she started the first national Komen and the first race for the cure.
Okay. And how long has it been in Charlotte, you said?
Since 1997.
Jeez, I know I've done it a few times. When's the event coming up for Charlotte?
So Komen Charlotte's Race for the Cure is always the first Saturday in October. So this year it's October 6th. And everyone can sign up at KomenCharlotte.org. You're welcome to join Team Komen. Registration is $35 from now until race day. And then on race day, it goes up to $40.
And then, so people join teams. And like, what's a little, describe the event a little bit. I mean, what does race day look like? And then what should people expect if they sign up?
Yeah. So it's so much fun because it's a big sea of pink. There's it's the largest, well, I say 5K, but it's the largest 5K in the Southeast, and there's about 15,000 people that come out to the event, and you'll see around 800 survivors, and they're all wearing their pink shirts. It's just a fun, engaging place. I know my first Race for the Cure was actually the year after I was diagnosed, and I was just amazed with how many people and the support and how many survivors and everything. There will be a survivor parade. There's tons of sponsors out there. This year we actually have a beer garden. There's a lot of fun things going on throughout it.
You know, I was just about to say, man, that's a little early for a beer, but we're doing this event tomorrow, Beers and Burpees, where it starts at 9 and we'll be doing burpees and then drinking beer in between. It's like this CrossFit workout, which I'm going to end up dying out there, I can tell. But there's drinking mixed in, so that's pretty cool. I've been to Race for the Cure maybe 3 times, maybe 4. My friend asked me to come to support her Aunt Robin, so we went, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of character. Everybody's dressed up, wearing silly outfits and tutus, yes, and all sorts of stuff. And it's really inspiring to see groups of women like that are all survivors. They're just having a blast, and some of them are just running through the thing like it's nothing, and others are just walking. So it's like it's not like this intense event where you got to be in shape or anything.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
Not at all. Yeah. And it's more of a walk than anything. This year, we're actually not timing our runners as well. So, because there were so few people that actually run it, because when you have 15,000 people out there,
yeah,
a little difficult. But I just think it's so important. If you can come out to the race, we would love to have you out there. And fundraising is so important to help save the lives of others. We're to help us meet our bold goal of ending breast cancer by, you know, reducing the number of breast cancer deaths by 50%. And we can't do that without you and all of your support.
Yeah. So other than the race, how do other people get involved and donate and all that?
So there's volunteering. You can donate anytime online at KomenCharlotte.org. We have Laugh for the Cure, which is February 28th, and that's a comedy show in Uptown Charlotte. That's our second largest fundraiser. It's so much fun. There's live and silent auctions, so you can check that out online as well. And then, of course, if you ever wanted to volunteer, come by the Komen House. You can give us a call at 704-347-8181, and we can set something up for you. There's also third-party events if you're interested. If you own a company and maybe you want to give a certain percentage back to Komen, you could do it for just a certain month throughout the year, the month of October. You can kind of customize it to however you want, which is another fun way to get involved.
What's the Komen House?
So we have a house on Randolph Road, right up by the Novant Hospital, and that's where we all work. It's a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we call it the Komen House because it's an old house. It's with the basement and the attic. It's 4 stories, and it's our office.
Everything,
there, so.
Everything creaks. It's something, yeah, out of a Halloween music or Halloween video. So what are some of the things that the development director, I know you touched on it a little bit, but what are some of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis that... you do to help raise money and awareness and all that? Like, what are some of the actual things that you actually do?
So a lot of it's engaging sponsors, getting corporate sponsorships for Race for the Cure and Laugh for the Cure, as well as any other small events that we might have. Next year, we have a metastatic breast cancer conference coming up in November, so working to get sponsorship for that as well. And then I also work with donors, building relationships with them, creating our circle of giving plan for our donors. We have rallies, which are like golf tournaments, and I build relationships with them and try to grow our rallies throughout our 13-county service area, as well as foundations, individual family foundations that donate to Komen Charlotte, and I build relationships with them and try to increase that amount. So basically anything that's bringing in money for the organization and fundraising, I work closely with our events and volunteer coordinator with third party events that she helps set up, which are events like, you know, if you own a, let's just say an olive oil place and you want to give a percentage back of every bottle of olive oil sold, something like that. That's a third party event. So, okay.
Yeah. How has, this is kind of the granddaddy of them all, how has going through what you went through and then now working for Komen kind of changed your life, I guess?
It definitely puts a whole new perspective on life. I know it sounds cliche, but I learned to not sweat the small stuff. We try to do little family trips, you know, even if it's minimal cost, just to get out and enjoy life and live life to the fullest. I've realized just there's so many people in this world that will do so much good. And I don't know, it's just put a whole new meaning on things for me. And I hope my kids will learn from it one day as well.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to give back to so many people and to others and other organizations and just things in general, because people need things more than we all need them sometimes.
Yeah, I imagine that it's a pretty big shakeup in somebody's perspective and things. Yeah. And it was funny that you mentioned the, you know, taking a few days for yourself. I think everybody needs that, and let alone, like, you know, someone that was going through a hard time like that. So I think everyone can benefit from self-love and taking time for themselves and, like you said, you know, filling your cup before you give to others and all that sort of stuff. So. Very good. How have you guys had any particular families that you've impacted that you have a, you don't have to give names or anything, but have you had any special people? I'm sure you interact with a lot of
survivors. Yes, definitely survivors and stuff that who Komen has helped maybe fund their mammogram. There's one in particular who Komen helped fund their mammogram, and they're alive today because of that, and they come back and volunteer, and it's pretty amazing to see the support system and how many either board members or volunteers are still involved with Komen since the 90s. You know, it's just so important to have those loyal supporters. Yeah,
that'd probably be my favorite part too. Is that your favorite part?
Yeah, right? It is. I just assumed it would be. People
Just be like, you know, dude, we're gonna get through this together, man. It's gonna be all right. So good. Well, Jennifer, I'm proud of proud of you and everything that you're doing, man. That's amazing. So
thank you.
Well, let's wrap up. Give everybody, I know you've mentioned it a couple times, but remind people the best way to get in touch with you, and then if they want to support Komen or if they want to do the Race for the Cure, just tell them one last time how they can do all that.
Yes, you can sign up at komencharlotte.org, and that's komencharlotte.org. And then our direct phone number is 704-347-8181. And you can sign up for $35 up until race day, and then it'll be $40.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thanks for coming on the Jones Zone. Pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.